You are listening to TLRStation.com.
Worldly Connections is all about bringing magic into your life. Janet Wisawati, visionary coach and consultant, is on a mission to empower people to keep moving forward, have a vision, and trust that something good will come of it. Worldly Connections inspires listeners to live happy and be happy through the power of conversation and positive energy from Janet and other experts who believe that life is a team sport, and when you work together, miracles happen. And now, here is your host, Janet Wisawati.
Welcome to Worldly Connections on TLR Station. Today I have a very interesting guest. Her name is Alice Shakina, and we're talking to her today about a play she wrote. And it's a piece of history I was not aware of. I love the play for that aspect of it. Okinawa, 1945. So welcome, Alice. I'm looking forward to hearing your side of this.
Thank you.
So how did you and why did you come up with the topic and decide to write a play about it?
So both of my parents are from Okinawa, and they grew up just after the war ended. So as I was a little girl, my father told me a lot of stories of what it was like, because he was about 5 years old right after the war ended. And he told me a lot of stories about what it was like when he grew up, just after the war. You know, they went swimming in the water that he was swimming in was made from all the bombing. And so that created like these craters in the earth, and then that filled up with rainwater. And then they went swimming as little children in that. And then, you know, like their backyard, meaning just everywhere, was surrounded by tanks. And the little kids would just get in and out of the tanks because the military left everything behind. So they were just playing around with a lot of the things. And the local people were very poor. So they would look for the shell casings of the bullets and try to get the metal off of it in order to make money. And so every once in a while there would be an accident where someone would take something that had not been detonated and it would explode while they're trying to take the metal off of the ammunition. And so then my father had to go over there to try to help clean up the person. So in any case, those were the types of stories that I grew up with. And as I got older, I visited Okinawa because a lot of my family members still live there, my aunts and uncles and cousins, and they have a Himeyuri Museum. And that museum educates the public about what happened during the Battle of Okinawa, the fact that they had girl nurses going into caves and that sort of thing. So that was sort of what interested me in writing about it. I was taking a playwriting course and trying to decide what I wanted to write about. And a friend of mine said, you know what, you really should write about that because no one knows about it. It's a very important piece of history that's fast disappearing as some of these survivors are dying and the people from World War II are dying. And so that was sort of my inspiration.
And it starts out it's three girls that were training as nurses, but one, the youngest one, was she 14 in the story?
The youngest one, no, she was much younger than that. Oh, I believe okay. The oldest one is around 14, and then okay. The youngest one may have been around 10.
Yeah, because it was interesting in reading the play about, they had a typical life as kids, right? They had love interests, they had dreams, they had goals. And then this all changed because of the war. The war had been going on, but they were part of Japan, but separate than Japan. Can you explain
yes.
that a little bit?
Yeah. So Okinawan culture is very different. And the way I try to describe it to people who are not familiar with that is sort of describing how Hawaii is part of the United States of America, and yet it has its own culture and it has its own language. So Okinawa has its own culture as well, very different from the mainland Japanese culture. And they also have a dialect, which is so different from the Japanese language that if you heard someone speaking the Okinawan dialect, you would not understand what they were saying if you were from the mainland Japan.
Interesting. So in the story, like, you did some research. Was it were your aunts or anybody that you met over there part of this recruiting, so to say?
So during the time that this was going on, most of the girl nurses that were being recruited were high school girls, and my aunts and uncles were much younger than that. They were probably in middle school. The oldest ones were in middle school. But I did go to Okinawa, and I went to the Himeyuri Museum and had them get me in touch with any of the local survivors. So there were about four people that we interviewed that were in their mid-80s by the time we were interviewing them. And so we got to talk to them about what it was like being a girl nurse going into the caves, helping the soldiers when they were only 14, 15, 16 years old. And one of the most amazing things that I came away with from these interviews was that when these women first walked into the room and sat down, they were very old women. They moved like old women, you know, just a typical older person. And then as they began to speak and talk about what happened to them during the time that they were 14 and 15, like, the years, like, visibly vanished off of them. And their gestures and mannerisms became younger and younger. And halfway through, I just felt like I was watching, you know, 16-year-old girls talking, because they just became very, very youthful once they were telling their story. It was pretty amazing.
Wow. That would have been something to experience. And so did you base characters, the girls in your play, were they based on specifically on these women, or was it a compilation of them all?
It was a compilation. Some of the personalities I took from my own family, as well as myself, and the experiences I did take from what I learned about these women. So they went through a lot of different things while they were there. Many, many of them, about 40 of them, ended up killing themselves because when the war was ending, the Japanese military was giving out orders that they should never surrender to the American government, and that even if the war was won by America, they should never surrender. And they were passing out hand grenades to the young girls and telling them, like, if you are caught by an American, or if they ask you to come out of the caves to surrender, you need to pull this pin. And one of the women that we interviewed actually pulled the pin on a grenade, and it malfunctioned and did not go off. And that was the only reason why she survived.
Wow. In the play, it has them handing out pills as well. Did that happen as well?
Yes, they also gave them cyanide pills, so that they could just take those and swallow them and die. So some of the other reasons, I mean, the reasons why they survived were just haphazard. Some of them never got the order, you know, like they were, you know, people were told, and those people told other people. And some people said they just never got the order, like it just had not made it down to them. So they didn't know that they were supposed to do that. And that's, again, the only reason why they survived.
Wow. Now, in some of my own looking into it, they had Korean girls as well. Is that correct?
You know, I'm not really sure about that. Japan has a very culturally strained relationship with other Asian countries. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's very possible that there were Korean girls there. But I do know that, you know, if you are Chinese or you are Korean and you were born and raised in Japan, the government will not give you citizenship because you're not, you know, of Japanese descent.
Interesting. Now, what else did you do? Like, I love the how you start it with the girls just being happy and playful and that. But they went through some trying times as well. And being trained as nurses, some of the jobs they had to do were not so pleasant.
Yeah, and those were actual things that happened. They had to basically amputate, you know, arms and legs if they were rotting away. They had to deal with a lot of people who were very badly injured. They ran out of places for people to go in the hospital. So instead of getting sent to a veterans hospital or any sort of building where they could provide some sort of medical care, these young soldiers were sent to one of many of the caves that exist in Okinawa as a way for them to rest and get some sort of, small amount of medical attention. So they're in caves, and then there was a nursing shortage. So they conscripted these high school girls and gave them very cursory training in medicine, whether it's like this is how you stitch them up and, what have you. It's nothing at all what they would need to work in a hospital. It's very, very minimal amount. And they were basically tossed into the caves and asked by the Japanese government to take care of these wounded soldiers. So they would have to take some of the maggots out of the arms of the men who had maggots in their wounds. In some of the scenes that I have, they're using chopsticks. And that is definitely something that happened. When I interviewed the women, they described that in detail. They had to go and get the food. So the girls basically put their lives in danger while they left the caves to go to certain places where they could pick up, huge amounts of rice for the soldiers. And so they were in danger doing that because they could easily get shot. They could easily get bombed. So they're running around just by themselves, young girls trying to go get food and bring it back. Then they also had to carry very heavy men. Once they died, they had to dispose of the bodies. So they would maybe throw them off the cliff or just toss them somewhere. But these are, once again, not 16-year-old girls who are not very strong, and they're having to lift, grown men and try to get them out of the caves to make room for some of them, injured people that are coming in. If someone had died, they would have to get rid of the body. So, or even if they amputated an arm or a leg, even a limb was very heavy for some of these girls. When I interviewed the old women, they said, oh, it was terribly, terribly heavy. It was so difficult to carry the limbs out and throw them out. So there was a lot of things that were very unpleasant that they had to deal with.
Now, these women, so what did they go on to do? Like, did they all stay together? Were they, I read in there that it was their sensei, so their teacher, that yes. had to go and collect them or pick who went?
That was more of the story that I told. That was sort of like fictional part of it.
Okay.
But in terms of what they did after, I think they went off and did many different things. Some of them moved to the States. I have an interesting story where when the play was produced in Hawaii, when I first wrote it, it was produced in Honolulu. And a woman who was in her 80s brought her 60-year-old son to come see the play from the Big Island. So she flew in just for the play. And as she was about to go into the theater, she told her son for the very first time in his life that this was her story, that this had happened to her, and that she had never, ever talked about it to anyone in her family or any of her friends. She basically kept that silent. And she let my play tell the story of her childhood to her son.
Whoa. I think on that note... we're gonna take a short break here, and when we come back, we're gonna talk to you a little more about that and the experiences and why some people keep things secret. And so we're gonna go to a short break, and when we come back, we're gonna be talking to Alice Shakina about Okinawa 1945.
Need to book an appointment with a holistic health provider or find resources and products in Edmonton and surrounding area? Not exactly quite sure who to contact or where to begin your search? Your Holistic Earth is the only online holistic marketplace that connects people like you who need help to the holistic health practitioners who provide a complete range of professional services and products. Look no further. Your Holistic Earth is your online holistic marketplace for a healthier and happier you. For everything holistic, visit yourholisticearth.ca. That's yourholisticearth.ca.
Welcome back to the second half of Worldly Connections on TLR Station. Before the break, we've been talking with Alice Shakina about Okinawa 1945 and the young girls that were taken by the Japanese to comfort these soldiers in caves and to do medical treatments and look after them after they've been injured. So, Alice, you told before the break, you told us a story about a woman who took her son to your play in order for him to see what her life was. And can you just expand on that a little more? Why would these women keep the secret? Did all of them that you speak to have them secret, or the ones that just immigrated?
I think it is a typical thing amongst those women. I would not say that all of them kept that secret, but it is typical for them to keep it secret because it was so terrible. It was such a bad part of their life that the way that many of them dealt with that was just by removing themselves from that, by never speaking about it again, basically shutting the door on a very traumatic part of their lives and moving on with their lives as if that never happened. So I believe some of them did that. At the same time, there are others who want to keep that piece of history alive so that it does not happen again. So the women that did agree to speak to me were obviously, okay with talking about it. And they did say that they worked with the Himeyuri Museum in order to share that piece of knowledge and educate people so that they would be against war and so that that would never happen again. So their mission was to try to prevent further wars from happening.
That's interesting because I think that goes in many areas. My husband's mother and father were both in Second World War in Poland and escaped from Poland and that. And she didn't talk very much about it. I just recently heard something that she told somebody else, but it just blew my mind. Some of the things that they had to do. So apparently they were both in the underground. So I can understand it's something you want to bury. On the other hand, someone like you that can take this story now and put it out there so that more of us can see what happened, because we see all these movies that are glamorized and stuff, but there's so much more that happened that we have no idea. I understand that there's probably way more than we even know about who was taken, like these young girls were taken. Was it over a short period of time, like just a matter of months when they had to do it, or was it a matter of years?
I believe it was like the last few months of the war, like right before the war ended.
So when they were getting desperate?
Yes, yes. And, you know, the Battle of Okinawa was a big thing because the entire battle was fought on a very small island. And so many of the people who lived there died. So it impacts a community extraordinarily when it's a very small island and an entire battle is fought there, one country versus another. So it's not a very large piece of land. That Okinawa is very, very small. It's a small tropical island. So you can imagine the devastation that they faced. And, you know, with the amount of people who are requiring medical care, obviously a very small island's hospital would not be able to manage the numbers that are coming. So towards the end of the war, the last several months, they had to resort to this.
Yeah, and those caves, they would have been dank and probably, what's the climate like and what time of year was that?
It's hot and humid. It's very muggy. This took place during several different seasons. However, the winters there are mild. But I would imagine it would be hot and kind of unbearable. You know, there could be mosquitoes and that sort of thing, because clearly how else are they going to get, some of the illnesses and the maggots that are in there and that sort of thing. So pretty bad conditions for the girls as well as for the soldiers to be in. Because if you have to take, you imagine going into a cave, there's like nothing but rocks and dirt. Mm-hmm. And then they had to basically take care of people and perform medical operations on them inside of a cave. You know, there's no light. It's very dark. Even the sunlight doesn't really get very far into there. The ground is not level. Sometimes it can be very, very small. You know, it could be that, you know, they don't have enough supplies in one. So you have to go to another cave to go find out if they've got supplies. But then in order to get from one cave to the other, you're once again putting yourself in danger, because leaving a cave basically exposes you to gunfire and bombings and that sort of thing. And they had a lot of bombings going on throughout the nighttime. So they had to like hunker down and stay there inside the cave so that they wouldn't get hit.
Can you tell us a little more about the writing of the play and the reactions? Now, you shared one reaction of this woman, and I'm sure she was very grateful to be able to share that with her son by just showing him your play. How was it when you actually, when the play was produced and you could see it?
Yeah, it was really very, very moving. I got to see it when it was produced in San Francisco and also in Hawaii. I have to say that one of the most rewarding things about the play being produced was that I received emails and I received letters from complete strangers thanking me for writing the play for various reasons. I even got a letter in the mail from a World War II vet who wanted to come and see my play because he had read about it and said, hey, this is like amazing. This is a part of my life, a part of my history. I wish I could come and see it, but thank you so much for writing something like this. I also received a letter from someone probably about an hour away, an older woman who basically got a ride and drove up an hour to San Francisco to see the play, saying that she was one of those survivors and that she was living in the Bay Area, and she thanked me for writing that as well. And there was also a gentleman who had visited Okinawa, an American, and he had asked a lot of local people about what happened during World War II. And he said that he got a lot of closed mouths, like people didn't really want to share that part or didn't want to talk about it. And so he left with a lot of questions in his mind. And he said that my play was able to answer all the questions that he had when he was visiting Okinawa. So he felt like, you know, that he learned a lot from my play, and he sent me a note of thanks. So it was really just amazing to touch people in a very profound way by writing this play. And it also ended up going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
I think it would be amazing to see and look at, just by stepping into that, how I believe you changed these people's lives and for where they are now, like that 80-year-old woman with her 60-year-old son, how far she's come from that. And it didn't necessarily define who she became. Yet I think that what you have done in sharing this opens our eyes. Like, I had no idea until I met you and heard about the story of the play and read it, that anything like this existed. And so much about war we don't know. And maybe this helps give people a little more understanding of, you know, what happened. Everybody, I think, during war is a victim, whether, no matter what side they're on. And or what they're asked to do. So I want to thank you for writing that, and I hope that it is produced again. I think it would be awesome to see in person. And I know it's on Amazon, so people, if they want to read it, they can get it on Amazon. It's under Plays, isn't it? I can't remember. I did get it from...
Yeah, it's under Plays, and if you type in Okinawa 1945, it'll pop up.
And so you're off to other ventures from this now, Alice. What's
yes,
next
I
in
am.
Your What's next in this half of your life?
So currently I'm starting a new mediation and arbitration business. So I am busy getting that up and running. I'm very, very excited about it. I am currently volunteer mediating in one of the courts here in California. And I just got certified as an arbitrator. So that's my next big adventure.
Do you still do some directing and acting? Because I see you're also a producer as well. and playwright?
Currently, I do not. Although I think that I would like to move into a bit of filmmaking in my next phase. So once I, put my mind back to it, I think I'll think about making a film.
Do you think you could make this into a film? I think
I've always wanted to make this into a film. Yeah, I've always wanted to make it into a film, and I was thinking about contacting someone like Clint Eastwood and trying to get the script in front of him, because he seems to have an interest in this type of subject matter. But I feel like it would have to have a decent budget because of the nature of the story. You know, it's taking place in the caves with lots of people, very crowded. It's not one of those films that you have like two or three people. There has to be a lot. So,
okay. So if anybody's listening, knows Clint Eastwood, please, please pass this on. And in the meantime, let's put it out there that somebody does pick it up and helps you put this into film, because I think it is important. We're a couple generations away, sometimes three generations away from World War II. And this was just one part of it. So if somebody wants to reach you and contact you more about this, how can they reach you, Alice?
They can reach me via my email, alice.shakina@gmail.com.
Okay. And you do you still have a website?
I have a brand new website. It's alicechakina.com. That one will be for my mediation and arbitration. So if anyone needs a mediator, they can contact me through there. Otherwise, they are welcome to email me directly.
Great. And I thank you, because I really, ever since I met you, I wanted to share more of this. And I'm very grateful for people like you who share these stories and have talked to people who have gone through this. And I wish you luck in your next venture and hopefully a movie in the future.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Janet. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Alice, and have a great day.
Are you interested in appearing on Worldly Connections? Ready to work together and make miracles happen? Then Janet wants to hear from you. Contact her at janet@familyconnect.com. That's Janet at Family Connect, spelled CONNEKT.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day. Tune in next week, same day and time.